Pray for understanding of God's word. Holy Spirit, come again. As long ago you inspired, astonished, and confused the people. Come to us now, of your breath. Fill our eyes with the brilliance of your presence in each other. Fill our hearts with your good word. Amen. Today's reading from God's word is Acts 2, 1 through 21. Suddenly a sound from heaven let the howling of a fierce wind filled the entire house when they were seated. They saw what seemed to be individual flames of fire alighting on each one of them. They were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other languages as the Spirit enabled them to speak. There were pious Jews from every nation under heaven living in Jerusalem. When they heard this sound, a crowd gathered. They were mystified because everyone heard them speaking in their native languages. They were surprised and amazed, saying, "Look, aren't all these people who are speaking Galileans? Every one of them. How then can each of us hear them speaking in our native language? Parthians, Medes, and Elamites, as well as the residents of Mesopotamia, Judea, Cappadocia, Pontus, and Asia, Phrygia, Pamphylia, Egypt, and the regions of Libya bordering Syria, and visitors from Rome, both Jews and converts to Judaism, Cretans and Arabs, we hear them declaring the mighty word of God in our own languages." They were all surprised and bewildered. Some ask each other, "What does this mean?" Others jeered at them, saying, "They're full of new wine." Peter stood with the other 11 apostles. He raised his voice and declared, "Judeans and everyone living in Jerusalem, know this. Listen carefully to my words. These people aren't drunk, as you suspect. After all, it's only 9 o'clock in the morning. Rather, this is what was spoken through the prophet Joel. In the last days, God says, I will pour out my spirit on all people. Your sons and daughters will prophesy. Your young will see visions. Your elders will dream dreams. Even upon my servants, men and women, I will pour out my spirit in these days, and they will prophesy. I will cause wounds to occur in the heavens above and signs of the earth below, blood and fire and a cloud of smoke. The sun will be changed into darkness, and the moon will be changed into blood before the great and spectacular day of the Lord arrives. And everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved." The words of God for the people of God.
Thanks be to God.
Join with me in prayer. We thank you, loving God, for speaking, for moving, for abiding, for loving. All those things we receive, we simply keep open to how you continue to do those things in our lives. It's in the name of Christ, our Savior, by the power of your Holy Spirit, that we pray. Amen. The very first time that Judy and I took a drive over to San Diego, there are monuments that you see before you get there. Huge, dramatic monuments that as you're driving by them and close by, it might just be me, I started kind of staring at them because I was fascinated. The wind turbines. Amazing, aren't they? And maybe some people who drive back and forth all the time don't even think about it anymore. But for me, I thought that is phenomenal. Just to be able to see them slowly turning and one after another, just gathering and trying to harness that power of nature. Wind is a powerful force, and it can at times be quite destructive. You know, one time we had a microburst here at the church, and you know, the wind actually knocked down part of our wall at our thing out here where you slide and roll around in the grass and things like that, playground. Yeah, those tough words. It knocked that down. It tore off that cover. That cover's on there really tight. But that wind came in, threw it all to pieces. Now, people also, I know, are affected by the wind because I will see them coming in to this building and they're going, and they don't look their finest, let's say, eyes watering, other things that blow in, and in fact, a couple of our teachers this past week were just absolutely miserable because that wind brings in allergies and other things that we have to deal with. So we understand wind here. But there's a wind that is spoken of in our scripture passage that speaks of and points to specifically God and God alone. It's really not about anything that we can or will do, except after God speaks into our life through that holy wind, how do we respond? How do we follow? How do we seek to be reminders of God's Holy Spirit in the world? That first Pentecost was disconcerting. It really was. You know, we talk about Pentecost and the power in the church and God's Holy Spirit at work in the church, and we can get excited. I heard some of you, whenever I was up here with the kids, getting really excited. So I've officially dubbed this the Amen Corner back here for today. Today alone, that's good. I appreciate that. And it's good to have that excitement, but that first Pentecost had to be disorienting as well. There were individuals gathered all from all over the world, the known world, and they were gathered for a particular festival, 50 days after Easter and 50 days after the Passover, and they were gathered for these festivals and a harvest festival specifically at the time. And then something else happened. Something else took place that nobody saw coming. There was a working of God, and there was a wind, powerful wind that was felt, and there were tongues of fire, people speaking in different languages. That tongues of fire, by the way, for those of you who are wondering and looking around, why is everybody wearing red? Red's kind of a color of fire, an image of fire. Especially in our United Methodist banner as well, we see a cross and a flame. If you ever see the United Methodist banner, you'll see that, the cross and the flame. And the flame points to that Holy Spirit at work, okay, in the world, and how we are called to follow that and respond to that Holy Spirit. For us, Pentecost is like so many other things that we celebrate and we remember in the church, a time of remembering something that did happen, okay? And so maybe some of the surprise and excitement and enthusiasm of it has waned. You know, whenever I first told you, are you ready to worship God, right at the very beginning of worship, I thought there were a lot of people that had allergies here today for some reason. The response was a little bit lukewarm. So, you know, granted, we have all sorts of other things on our minds. Some people are even thinking, boy, I hope he gets done early because the Indianapolis 500 has already started. I don't want to miss a whole lot of it, you know. Somebody flying off the track or something like that. And we'll pray for them as well. But distractions come in, and having that feeling of being completely surprised by God's grace, we seek it, and yet sometimes we wonder if it's going to happen. Right? Truly being surprised by how God works in our lives. Truly being startled by how God works in our lives. Having it come into our lives and not being able to control it at all. but rather simply needing to receive it and allow God to mold us, change us, strengthen us. It's a story that I wanted to share with you that was shared by a colleague in ministry, Reverend Dr. Scott Kennefake. He was interviewing a former chef, secular intellectual, skeptic, and journalist, Sarah Miles, about her unexpected and inconvenient conversion to Christianity. Have you ever heard conversion of Christianity defined as inconvenient? Let me unpack that. Whenever we accept a saving relationship with God through Jesus Christ, and when we open ourselves to the working of God's Holy Spirit, it can be inconvenient because guess what? We are now called to trust in God through Jesus. And that may change some of the ways that we interact with other people. And that may change some of our biases. And that will change our bigotry and ignorance. That will challenge us to get out of the shallow places and dive in the deep end spiritually. So, you know, following Jesus can be inconvenient because it's not just about us doing what feels good to us. It's about following God and building His kingdom. You see, Miles, back to the story, was raised as an atheist. And she was happily living an enthusiastically secular life. I like that term. As a restaurant cook and journalist, indifferent to religion at best. She didn't care. And in her book, Take This Bread, she says, I was certainly not interested in becoming a Christian, or, as I thought of it rather less politely, a religious nut. But as she entered the doors of an Episcopal church in San Francisco on a whim, not really sure what guided her there, we were just talking about that wind, maybe, she ate a piece of bread and she took a sip of wine and found herself radically transformed. At the age of 46, this was her very first communion, and it changed everything. That was the unexpected experience of Sarah Miles, the enthusiastic atheist who had no intention of becoming a follower of Jesus until she met him as a living reality in the bread and wine of the Eucharist. Now, that's not the end of the story. We all have stories about our faith journeys, each of us. Stories that sometimes are dramatic, stories that are sometimes startling, stories sometimes that make it very inconvenient for us to live a life that we were comfortable with now that we know Jesus. All right, things change. But what we do with that working of the Holy Spirit, that Spirit that guides us into places and with people that we can't expect or explain or even expect coming, what we do with that then is also the challenge for Pentecost Sunday. Here's what she did. She started a food pantry and gave away literally tons of fruit and vegetables and cereal around the same altar where she first received communion. She then organized new pantries all over the city to provide hundreds of hungry families with free groceries each week. Without committees or meetings, or even an official telephone number, she recruited scores of volunteers and raised hundreds of thousands of dollars. The living Spirit of Christ, described in Scripture by the unpredictable, uncontrollable symbols of wind, fire, and breath, radically transformed Sarah Miles' life and her community. When the Spirit is active and present, folks, it's not just about me, but about we. It's not about me, but about we. Share that with someone. It's not about me, it's about we. It's about the creation of a new kind of inclusive, welcoming community based on love. People speak about revival and how there is a need for revival in the church. And certainly, as brothers and sisters in Christ, we are filled when we see another brother or sister in Christ moved, startled, surprised by God working, speaking into their life, defining them as His own, and understanding that in a whole new way. The startling fact of today is that we, no matter where we are in our faith, can use a bit of revival as well. That doesn't mean revival in a sense that now I expect to see all of you standing on a street corner preaching to somebody down in Yuma. I'm not expecting you to do that. If you feel guided by God to do that, that's fine. But revival guides us to do things like what Sarah did, okay? This intimacy that we have with God, this familiarity, this knowing that we are loved more than we can imagine, then guides us and motivates us to understand that it is about building God's kingdom and not our own. Revival, you see, is a very personal thing, is a very intimate thing. It happens in our hearts, and then we share it in all that we do and say, or at least we try our best. Now, are we going to make mistakes? Are we going to get it wrong? Are we sometimes going to maybe think that we're hearing God, but it's really our own agenda? Are we going to screw up? Of course we are. Your pastor is a great illustration of that just in worship today. A number of times that I've screwed up. So it's okay. It's okay. But if we're willing to follow and trust, I mean really trust God first, okay? That's our first prayer, Lord. Lord, I'm going to seek to trust you today. We can also be assured that God's Spirit is at work in ways that we can't ever even imagine. How is God at work in your life? How is God speaking into your life? You know, last week I'd invited you to join with me for 40 days to read John chapter 17. And for those of you who might be here today, go ahead and start. Just read that prayer of Jesus for the next few days, for the next 40 days, if you would like. Reading those words of love and grace remind us of how loved we are. Being together and being about we, not just me, reminds us of how loved we are. Wearing red sure is a nice reminder of Pentecost, but it's not really about what we put on or wear, is it? It's what God is doing in our hearts, in the hearts of His people, and we are all His people. So what is God doing in your heart today? How is God surprising you? How is God bringing you out of your comfort zone? How is God making you uncomfortable? That can be the work of the Holy Spirit too, by the way. It's not just about God doing what I want God to do. It's about God working in the way that God wants to work. How is that manifest? How is that present? How is that taking place? Or maybe even more the question, how can we be more vulnerable and open to that Holy Spirit? We already know, and we have so many stories in this place of that Holy Spirit working, guiding people into ministries that they never expected they would be doing. God's Holy Spirit is still at work. May our prayer simply be, Lord, here I am. Use me. Fill me with your Spirit. Let us pray. We thank you, Lord, that your Holy Spirit was not simply working on that day that we remember, that we celebrate today, but it works today in this very moment. And it works in the next moment, and the next after that. And sometimes it brings us into places of reflection or discernment or quietness, and sometimes it brings us into places of action and reaching out. We would simply ask that you would help us to be open in whatever way your Spirit moves, in whatever way it fills us, in whatever way it challenges us to be more your people, the body of Christ. Thank you for Pentecost Sunday, reminding us that it's not about me, it's about we. We pray this in the name of Christ, our risen Savior. Amen. We also have another celebration for On the Way. Wilma Green, if she could come forward at this time. Wilma's a celebration. There's no question about it. And it is a wonderful blessing to be able to receive her as a member today. It's been kind of an interesting journey because she was a charter member. And then she felt guided into another place. And now she feels guided to come back home. And this is home for you. And we love you. And we celebrate the fact that you are coming back home. Absolutely. So it's been kind of an interesting thing for me, an interesting morning for me today, to give a certificate of professing membership to a charter member of the church. But I celebrate that, and we celebrate God at work in you. Welcome home. Welcome home. Let's go ahead and celebrate that.